There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Oh, so many lonely ghosts.
A lot of lonely ghosts, huh? Are we good to go?
Yeah.
All right, that's Marcus Parks. I am Benjamin Kissel. To my left, we have a fella.
Bro, welcome to Christmas in the Caribbean.
A Caribbean Christmas. I stalked Henry Zebrowski coming out of the train today. We were in the exact same G train, different cars. He got off before I did. I was walking behind him for quite a long time, enough time to stab you multiple times if I so wanted to.
I was wrapped in a fantasy.
He was wrapped in a fantasy. I say, Henry, he snaps out of it. And he's like, oh, you wouldn't believe what I was just thinking about. And I was like, was it something peaceful and wonderful? Something about love and bunnies?
No, what I said was, and it's very true, I was not looking at my, because I was imagining in my brain, when my parents eventually die.
This is a thought.
When my parents eventually die, I'm going to spend Christmas in Cancun.
And how many people are you going to spend Christmas in
Nobody.
Cancun?
Nobody. By myself. Just me, the Zetas, and a fucking pint of martinis.
So you can think of anything in your head. You could fantasize about going to space
for Christmas.
I literally
was imagining myself on the plane going to Cancun on Christmas, wearing a Santa hat and just fucking a leather thong. For fucking the, for the Fantasy Fest 2017 in Cancun.
Mr. Zabrowski, would you like another coconut martini?
Fucking light them up, sister! Because I'm vacationing for Christmas.
I've been fantasizing about being a magician lately.
What do you want to juggle, Marcus? What if you could juggle one thing, what do you want to do? Knives, swords, chainsaws?
Not
what
kind of magician? Not that type of magician.
What kind of magician?
A practical magician,
A practical magician?
A magician who actually...
A wizard, you're saying being a wizard. You want to be a wizard.
More of
we'll
a wizard,
we'll do a whole episode about you by our trip to be wizard. I want to be a wizard too, but mostly I just want to be like Kazam and have like a joint show up.
Yeah. The world's most stoned wizard, Henry Zebrowski.
All wizards are stoned on magic.
That, sir, would be a conjuring spell.
Oh, Leviticus Mishniticus.
This is going to be the earliest nerd alert I've ever done. Let's not. Can we stop?
Hogwarts is gay.
Anti-nerd talk, though. Before we get into today's major subject, John Wayne
Gacy.
We
have to get pretty masculine before we start talking today.
Yes, we do.
About our present.
What's more masculine than starring in a major motion picture that comes out on December 25th called The Wolf of Wall Street and going to the premiere party? Mr. Henry Zebrowski.
You gotta check it out. It's good.
Check it out.
It's a good film.
Mr. Zebrowski, on Tuesday night... Every other night of your life, you've been a peasant.
Yes.
A normal person.
And I'm back to being one.
Sure.
But for one night, the glitz and glam of Hollywood bounced off my sunglasses and my patent leather shoes, and I walked the red carpet.
Yes, you did. And you look glorious walking that red carpet.
Absolutely, I did. I tried. It was from I got a Woman's Wear Digest, asked me a couple of questions. They're the only ones who talked to me for any length of time.
Woman's Wear Digest.
Excuse me, Women's Wear Daily.
I'm sorry.
Daily. Okay.
I'm sorry.
And will this interview be coming out?
Maybe, because they asked me later on to, they requoted me, they asked me to clarify something. I had the pleasure of them asking me, like, so what are you wearing? And I was like, it's a little boutique that I really know about. You know, it's a thing in New York, it's really good, it's called Men's Warehouse.
Oh, that's incredible.
And then actually, what's funny about it is that you'd think it's Warehouse the building, but it's Warehouse with the word wear in the title.
Now that is fun.
And she stared at me in silence.
That is great. Yeah. Women's Wear Daily. Check out the Henry Zebrowski article.
I think she was throwing me vibes.
Yeah.
I've been told I'm going to like the way I look.
You're going to like the way you look.
I did that too. And she was just like, that's interesting.
What's this an impression of? All right, move along. Okay, we're good. Thank you. Every Rolling Stone reporter. Yeah. Every Rolling Stones reporter where they saw Henry, because the Rolling Stone, that's going down the tubes.
No, absolutely
Women's
not.
Daily, Women's Wear Daily, however.
So Wolf of Wall Street's about men with big, giant, hard fucking cocks who know where to put their money
that's
and know
right.
how to treat the ladies and other boys they pal around with. And there's another guy out there, that knows how
man.
To treat the ladies and knows how to treat some of his boys downtown.
That's
He's got
right.
the manliest name in the game. Welcome to number two in our Big Hitter series.
Big Hitter. The pig of Chicago.
The fucking killer clown himself, John Wayne Gacy.
Everybody.
And this is the thing. We covered Dahmer before, and now upon re-entering into this world,
yes.
I've relaunched my love for John Wayne Gacy.
Oh.
John Wayne Gacy is a charmer.
Yes.
He's a joker.
That's right.
He's a funny guy.
He's
well-connected. You know what I mean? He knows he knows where to get the freshest sausage in town.
Is he your spirit animal? John Wayne Gacy, would you describe him as the inspiration?
Obviously, besides just obvious physical connections,
right.
he's obviously who I'd be if I was a serial killer. Because he's got the gift of gab.
He's got the gift of gab. He's got the gift of clown. And he's got the gift to make people want to be around him, which is exceptionally difficult and a rare skill for the vast majority of serial killers.
He's a true politician. And matter of fact, probably even closer to the truth of politicians if we want to look at like what happened in Boys Town, what happened in various different places that we have already seen, where we've seen politicians who are openly not a total sexual freak and deviant.
But
and then on the inside,
Boys Town again?
The Indiana...
The Franklin cover-up.
Yeah, the Franklin cover-up.
Okay.
With, you know, with piping in boys for politicians
supposed
to fuck.
Supposed satanic ritual abuse going on, but mostly it was just politicians fucking boys.
Having sex
Absolutely.
With someone.
Absolutely. We got a whole president who manages to get the glue to keep his fucking people mask on.
Right, right. By the way, I read that article that somebody posted on the Facebook page about the Lost Prophets lead singer, and he got,
22 years.
22.
That's
I think it was 29 and then 7 on top of it.
That's all he got?
35. No, I think he's going for 35. But either way,
that's it.
He knew how to fuck some babies. That's for certain.
Is it if you give a baby an orgasm, you're fine under the law?
Yeah, it's something.
And they're like, well, these babies loved it.
Under British law, yes.
Yeah, it's because babies, they're just smoking cigarettes, just going, anytime, come rolling over my crib. Literally.
It's a crib. I liked it.
It's a crib.
We'll take it. John Wayne Gacy, gift to gab, a real charmer. He had every tool that he needed to have in order to be one of the greatest serial killers in American history.
Absolutely. He was molested by an uncle. He was beaten by his father, who called him a queer his whole life. And I mean, not like he wasn't saying what was already going on inside his own fucking mind.
Right.
Which
right.
is really fun and interesting. How his father is a bit of a psychic.
Okay. His father really knew his son.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He knew his son better than he did.
Yeah.
Because it's like he could tell he was a liar, especially when John Wayne Gacy's just hanging out with his sisters, you know, and just being like, I'm going to be a big, strong man like you, Daddy. And
sure
he's just
you will,
like,
John.
Sure you will, John.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go put on your clown makeup and teach the kids the rope trick.
So Marcus gave me this book called Defending a Monster, John Wayne Gacy, by John Wayne Gacy's defense attorney,
right.
Sam Amarante.
Amarante.
He wrote an entire book from his perspective in the case, which is entirely flawed. Because
the defense attorney's case is entirely flawed?
Yeah.
Because
he had 33 fucking boys
right.
buried at his house.
Okay.
They were in his house.
Now, it doesn't look good.
26 boys in his house.
I know, and then
five
in the river.
Yeah, because he ran out of room.
Room in the house.
Right, right.
That's
a bad problem to have. Where
it's
am I going to put these extra five children?
She should have went to the Container Store.
Yeah,
because
that's
you could
right.
talk with one of their personal organizers there, and they'll come over to the house and they'll look at your stuff.
Right. That's a good
and
point.
So what I wanted to do a reading. We're going to do several readings from this book, but I wanted to paint the picture of where Sam Amarante is coming from. It really makes you feel special about this country.
I mean,
it's about the American flag.
That's right. It's about the American justice system. The chances this man has a hairpiece is 100%, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Oh, yes. He's got like Alan Thicke's top, and then his
Ooh.
Bottom face looks like Abe Vigoda.
Ooh.
All right. In 1770, when this country was in its birth throes, the most hated man in America was a man named Captain Thomas Preston. He was the commander of a small cadre of British soldiers who fired upon a gathering of disgruntled colonists, killing five. This event came to be known as the Boston Massacre. The five men who died a result of this event are considered by most historians to be the first casualties of the Revolutionary War.
Oh my.
As is always the case, there were two sides to the story as to why this tragedy occurred. The colonists, led primarily by Sam Adams, one of the most outspoken writers and revolutionaries of the day, claimed that the British fired upon the peaceful crowd and killed five patriots without just cause.
Uh-oh.
The British soldiers claimed that they had fired upon an angry mob in self-defense. There are two reasons that will cause good men to abandon their long-standing, dearly held morals, values, and principles and revert to more primitive, barbaric practices to resolve conflicts.
This is about a dude who killed 33 children.
Yeah, okay. John Wayne Gacy.
This is written by Glenn Beck.
That is when their hearts are filled with anger or when their hearts are filled with fear. Because the colonists were angry over taxes imposed by the British without representation, along with other perceived injustices.
Well, I mean, that is... Yeah.
And because they were fearful of the sheer might of the British crown in general and of the soldiers that were now being billeted in their town to quell potential uprisings, in particular, their hearts were filled with both. They wanted revenge against the British captain and the British soldiers under his command. Evidence be damned. Facts be damned. They wanted revenge that was swift and sure.
So 26 kids were in
his house. 26 kids. He raped and he murdered them.
Oh, okay, okay.
They wanted the heads of the captain and his men on the spit, John Wayne Gacy. One man came forth and said loud and clear, I stand for the law. The man that took the soldier's case when no other man would stand in their defense was John Adams.
Oh, okay.
John Adams, one of our nation's true founding fathers, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, our first vice president, our second president of the United States.
And then five in the river.
Five kids in the river.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Also known as Sam Amirante. His response was said to be this: counsel is the last thing an accused person should lack in a free country. He agreed to defend these men in spite of what it may do to his reputation, to his law practice, or to his future plans.
33 that we know of.
Okay, yeah.
26 in the house, 5 in the room.
He was a horrible liar. He lied to every single person he ever met.
Oh, okay.
He took the case because he believed that free men had certain rights.
Mm-hmm.
These were among the heartfelt principles on which he built his life. Those principles are woven into the fabric of our Constitution. Those principles represent our principles as Americans. Every person accused of a crime shall have the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of his peers. Every person so accused shall have the right to face his accuser in a court of law. Every person so accused shall have the right to counsel. Many men and women have fought and died to preserve those principles, those rights. So keep that in mind when you hear someone say that this crime is too gruesome, or that this person is too dangerous, or that this issue is too complicated to allow these principles to stand. That this includes the frightened flock that today seeks to exclude terrorists from those principles.
Interesting, yeah.
Keep in mind that the very men that John Adams defended were uniformed members of an army of a foreign power that would soon become an enemy. Still, they had their day in court. There is no cause or justification to usurp the Constitution. When harried and nervous people jump in front of microphones and scream and rail that we should suddenly do something in direct contravention to that upon which we have based our very system of justice, when they tell you that we should abandon that which men have fought and died for, which has worked so well since the beginning of this beautiful experiment that we call America, in favor of that which we've always criticized about lesser countries, kindly invite them to Pound Sands.
So John Wayne Gacy was just innocent.
Down the line.
With the Revolutionary War there. Yeah, that was amazing.
And then we'll cover in the second half of this episode that they only took an hour and 45 minutes to convict him of 33 counts of murder.
Interesting.
Sam Amirante. Yeah. I thought he had it going on.
Amirante. No small ego on that guy.
He actually changed his first name. Actually, when they came from Ellis Island, his first name was Amirante.
Amirante Amirante.
Sam Amirante. I literally, I was reading this in bed. I was reading it. I was like, He just called himself John Adams.
He did.
He just said that he's
he is John,
John
Adams.
Adams.
He is bigger than John Adams.
Bigger than him.
Love this guy so much. Defending right. a Monster. It's one of my favorite true crime books.
It's incredibly written. We're going to read a scene out of John Wayne Gacy's life at the end of this episode, and you'll see what kind of tailspinner this man is.
Yeah. Check
do
it out.
Do we want to go back in the way, way back machine and start when John Wayne Gacy was born a fat little child, not unlike Ed Larson?
A fat little Ed Larson looking baby.
Overweight and unathletic.
And underpaid.
Well, he didn't have a job. He wasn't doing anything.
Very close. He had two sisters. He was very close to his two sisters and his mother.
I was also very close to my sisters.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
and then you're
weird.
In shape.
Yeah, very weird.
Mm. I played sports. 6 years a catcher because of fucking Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Sandlot.
Oh, yeah. Henry did have the two fattest positions that you
Goldberg,
can play in sports.
Yeah, was a catcher and a goalie.
Catcher
that's what fat kids do.
Basically, the kids just wanted to throw balls and pucks at you, and then you found a way to let them do it.
And so Gacy was all of his life trying to find his father's approval.
Right.
From the age of he started being beat by his father around the age of four, and his father beat him with a leather belt for disarranging car parts,
yes,
like engine
absolutely.
Parts.
But this is also what happens when you name your son John Wayne. You when you were set, but like literally,
sure. yeah.
you set, think about what you set up a kid's life for when you name him John Wayne. If he's anything but a fucking 10-inch dicked cowboy, he's going to be less manly than you want him to be.
Right.
Yeah, without a doubt. So he was...
Was he named after the movie star, do you
yes.
think?
Yes, he was.
John Wayne.
Okay. He was named after the father's favorite movie star.
Okay.
And he did have friends growing up. Like, he wasn't very popular, but he was in the Boy Scouts... and was very popular within the Boy Scouts.
And with his girls. He was popular with the ladies.
Well, I'm sure they had a nice friend that they could confide in. Certainly, he wasn't grabbing on their breasts or
soft
trying to
hands,
touch their butts.
Like, slope shoulders. He's
Indeed.
Great at... He's knitting with them.
Absolutely.
It's great.
And the more that his mother tried to shield him from his father's abuse, the more the father hated him. The more he called him a sissy, a mama's boy, a queer...
God, that wasn't right, you know? Certainly not real.
And I'm guessing there's, in the book, there is a little name that John Wayne Gacy says over and over again when referring to gay people, which I'm sure he picked up from his father. He just says over and over, I ain't no fruit picker.
Fruit picker. He keeps saying fruit picker.
Well, no, isn't that so? It sounds more like a racial slur against like a Mexican or a Cuban
or
something.
No, it's just a job title.
It's a fruit picker. It's a gay job title.
Yeah, that's all it is. No, yeah, John Wayne Gacy violently defended the fact that he was not homosexual single turn. But I don't know why he said bisexual was being fine then. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it when we get there. So at 9, that's when he was molested. He was molested by a family friend. And this is an interesting thing.
I mean, he was probably flirting.
Well... Here's really interesting is that the man who molested him was a contractor, which, as we all know, was the occupation that John Wayne Gacy chose later on in life when he began molesting children.
Yeah, that's like...
I mean, he did have molestations and assaults before he started PDM Contractors, but once he started PDM Contractors, that's when he really kicked into high gear.
Yeah,
I mean, that makes
what explains a lot about me is that I was molested by Dom DeLuise as a child.
Dom DeLuise.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for the career, though.
That's
it's
great.
Really been great.
And every morning you slam a whipped cream pie right in your face.
Yeah, and I go...
That's
I get
brilliant.
Hard from it.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that something special?
Everyone's got a hobby.
A contractor, they go to house, right?
Yeah.
So you have access to a whole series of different people.
It's great. It's a perfect job. It's the same thing,
respected.
It's like what Dennis Rader did. Perfect job for a serial killer because you get total access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what makes, Jeffrey Dahmer so special. He just worked at the chocolate factory.
He just was, he could have been, what's his name? What's the name of the bald dude? He could have been a Max Brenner.
Yes,
he was the
Max Brenner, the chocolate man. He had a couple of stores around here.
Can you imagine Jeffrey Dahmer's chocolatiers? I could almost see it.
Oh, that does sound amazing.
It's like, man, look at all these wonderful, crudely done bananas he's got.
Chocolate covered bones, human shoulder.
So when Gacy was 11, he had something else happen to him, which is another hallmark of serial killers. He had an extensive head injury.
Okay.
He was hit in the head by a swing. And so from the ages of 11 to 16, he had blackouts. He had seizures.
I think all this was horseshit.
See, I don't think his seizures
think
were horseshit.
Because when you look on later on and he's lying so much, I think he's been lying since that age. Because he figured out that he was fine. That's how he got out of doing sports.
Well, he was diagnosed as having blood clots by a doctor.
I mean, doctors back in the day, I mean, they were probably molesting him, too. He's probably sashaying around
the doctors weren't molesting him. You know, they were just checking all his cavities. That's fine.
All
that's
his
normal.
Cavities.
No, Gacy seems like the kind of frumpy, dumb kid, you know, who stands in front of a swing.
It's cold outside. I got ice cream on my shorts.
Exactly. Bends over, gets hit in the head. I could see this being a very reasonable thing to have happen to an 11-year-old.
Mama, nobody likes me.
Fat.
They say it's my voice.
That's the reason, John.
My voice is bad for making friends.
That is exactly what he sounded like. It's dead on. It's a dead on impression.
And you know, he was also a bit of a kiss ass. He assisted the school truancy officer.
God, I just want to beat him up myself.
He volunteered to run errands for teachers. Oh, God, such a brown noser.
That's what you do. Yep. You appeal to authority, so you get authority's power.
And he always did.
And he did. And, he got into politics at a very young age. He started volunteering for the Democratic Party at 18.
Yeah, and his dad called him a sissy for that, too. What was the actual official term that he called him for that? Something like a patsy.
His father would have loved if his son was Ted Bundy. I feel like his father would have just loved if his kid was Ted Bundy.
If he was just good looking and big and
loves the ladies. Oh, Teddy, get out there. I love the ladies.
Yeah, because I guess, man, can you imagine him getting hit on by John Wayne Gacy? Because at the same time, John Wayne Gacy's like humor was not funny. He was backdoor funny. He was like your dad's friend funny. Like, I remember my dad and my friends used to have a joke where they'd go, like, be the bull. And they would, like, go and put up, like, horns and go, other. And then they'd go do God knows what outside of my family.
And that was the joke there.
That was, like, the joke. But you know what I mean? It was all, like, them slapping each other's asses and talking about, you know, like, essentially rape.
They're all just
laughing about rape.
Well, they were probably NYPD officers as well.
Yes, absolutely. A clod of them.
Yeah.
That's what you call a group of drunk officers on the job. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So in 1962, Gacy has had enough with his father. He's had enough with his family. He drops out of high school.
I'm moving out.
I mean,
actually, Billy Joel wrote this song about John Wayne Gacy
and
leaving.
Moving up.
Yeah, going to Las Vegas.
Yeah, he went to Las Vegas, Nevada, and became a mortuary attendant. This is when a very bizarre incident happens with John Wayne Gacy. One night, he's cleaning out the embalming room. There's a young boy in there naked on the table, on the old slab, and Gacy crawls up next to him and starts cradling the dead body.
I mean, lonely.
It's like that television show Pushing Daisies. Maybe he thought he could bring the boy back to life with just
like
a little hug.
I bought Ben Kissel that body pillow to keep you company, then I come back the next day and it's torn to shreds.
Yeah. Well, it didn't keep me very good company, did it? No, I wasn't happy with what it was saying to me.
I mean, they even say embrace, but you know he fucking like touched his lips.
He touched every inch of that boy's body.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that just shows how shockingly lonely a person can be. Like, he was just lonely. He had no real relationships.
Did he graduate high school?
No, he never did.
No, he took classes while he was in prison for the first time.
Yeah.
No, we'll get to.
That's phenomenal. That he got to meet the... We'll get into...
we'll get into all that stuff. Yeah, the rise of John Wayne Gacy
is pretty interesting.
And you know, I will say, in his defense, he had every reason to... You know what? I'm sick of the molestation. I'm sick of the beatings. You know, I'm sick of fucking...
He only got molested once. He got beat a bunch.
No, he got molested multiple times by one dude.
Who just does it once? You know, especially such a supple young John Wayne Gacy 9-year-old.
Once you pop the fun, don't stop.
That's right.
You just have to, like, keep going back to that sweet, sweet well water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think that he was raised to be isolated. And he lived isolated.
Yeah. Well, yes. I will say this is, so far, the perfect recipe for creating a total demon creature.
Absolutely. But then there was, I mean, you know, but then at the same time in the 1950s, it just feels like everyone's getting molested.
That is true.
Everybody was.
Everyone was getting molested
like it was fine. They were a little bit, like every priest molested everybody. Everyone was getting molested. There was a part of just growing up. You had a funny uncle. Everyone had like a funny uncle.
A funny uncle?
In like 1952, like there'd be like an uncle that you couldn't go any near. It's like Uncle Terry. And he's just going and he's playing with his children. So he's being like, I have so many rocking horses in my garage. If you want to come over later, Cousin Terry. And they're like, stay away from Uncle Terry, you know?
Yeah. That is true. Every family does have the stay away uncle.
They absolutely do.
All right.
So John Wayne Gacy, after the incident with the corpse, he is shocked At least that's what he says.
We're going to call this an incident with the corpse? An incident?
Incident.
Isn't an incident sort of an accidental event?
He this language back in the day. He started figuring out how to, like, dissociate himself from what he did very easily.
Usually an incident doesn't involve semen.
Yeah.
Usually. Did he come on this trial?
Absolutely. Of course he did.
Well,
he doesn't say he did, but yeah.
Okay.
So this freaks him out so much that he calls up his mom and he says, listen, I want to move back home. She talks to the father. The father eventually says, yes, you can come back home.
Yeah,
so
I mean, you know, whatever happens back in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. And somehow he managed to enroll in Northwestern Business College despite having no high school degree.
He just lied his way through. He's very good at lying.
Jumping hurdles.
In 1963, he graduated and undertook a management training position with, and this is really funny, the Nunn Bush Shoe Company.
The Nunn Bush, N-U-N Bush?
N-U-N-N Bush.
Nunn Bush.
Nunn Bush.
How do you like your body? How do you like your boys, John?
Nunn Bush. You're going to fit in just fine here, the old shoe company.
Yeah. Look, drop them pants, Johnny. Yeah. Oh, you're going to have to get the tutorial before we get done with this.
Ooh, this is thick. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine John Wayne Gacy's bush hair being relatively thick.
Yet. No, I know. I honestly imagine it's like long, red, and wispy.
Like yours?
That's disgusting, everybody. And for some reason, then I had to think of a child running through the fields of Henry Zebrowski's pubic hair with their hands up in a V, basking in the sun.
Gee, Daddy, this is some funny corn.
Yeah, like some disgusting Clorox bleach commercial, white sheets blowing in the wind.
Yep.
All
touch
on Henry's
cotton.
Yep. The Henry Zebrowski Field of Dreams. That's what you should call your pubic hair from now on.
Well, March of that year, he got engaged to his first wife, Marilyn Myers. He worked with her at the Nunn Bush Shoe Company.
Nine months later,
they got married, and Marilyn's father, for John Wayne Gacy, purchased a whole series of Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurants in Waterloo, Iowa.
Isn't that... No, I did not know this about the Kentucky Fried Chickens.
Yeah. He managed a whole bunch for years up until his, you know, arrest that we'll get to. He managed Kentucky Fried Chickens.
Absolutely.
Really?
Again, another food connection. They love it. I mean, you can imagine it. Well, you remember when back in the day when Kentucky Fried Chicken was like a sit-down restaurant?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is
still a sit-down restaurant. How do you treat it? What do? You go in there and get out?
Yeah, just you hide in shame.
You do that at your mother's house? Yeah. No, you sit down at the goddamn table, you have a bucket to yourself, and you... go get a couple of refills for free.
I'll have a Kissel special. Sorry, sir. We don't serve rum here.
Yeah, that's just when they kick you out immediately. I shouldn't have asked for that. I really wanted some chicken. So how many did he manage?
It doesn't say how many he managed.
It was three.
I also went to look for... interviews with John Wayne Gacy's wives, and I couldn't find any.
No, just like most of spouses of serial killers. Like, I think Dennis Rader's family, didn't they change their name?
They changed their name.
That is a very, very common thing. They all change their names.
Can you imagine that? Because it's also like, what was John Wayne Gacy like in bed? You know what I mean? Like, do you think that he... Because you know the story of we'll get into it. So his second wife, he called it off. He said at one point, he's like, we're not having sex anymore.
Yeah.
He stopped it. Yeah, but
no,
can you imagine like
it.
Him just kind of crawling on top, just going like, oh, I wish it was longer. like sucking on her clit, going like, oh.
I mean, you know that
where's the balls?
He was thinking about the corpse baby that he was cuddling at the goddamn mortuary. You know, that's what he was thinking about
every
time.
That wasn't a baby. That was a full-grown male man corpse.
No, it was like 7-year-old child, I thought.
No, it was a man. It was a
man.
It was like a 16-year-old boy.
It
corpse.
Was a man in a coffin.
A man in a coffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
which is also I do call it when I got a shit in the toilet.
A man in a coffin.
Hey, watch out. There's a man in a coffin in there.
Right. Yeah, I've heard of that. I've heard that called such things.
It's also at this time that John Wayne gets... Because he describes this time in his life as perfect.
Yes.
This is when he is at his happiest, because this is also when he joins his favorite group of all time, the JCs.
Yeah, I told you I looked up when you look up notable JCs, there's only four. It was
Charles Lindbergh, Hubert Humphrey, Richard Nixon, and John Wayne Gacy.
Can you imagine being in that class?
What a list.
Hanging out with that crew, you know?
Holy Lord.
Oh, my God. So if you don't know what the JCs are, they are a leadership training and civic organization.
I still don't know what that
means. What is a civic organization? What does it mean?
It's like the Shriners. They do volunteer stuff. They organize parades.
Do they just... when the way they describe of what John Wayne Gacy did at these JC meetings, I thought that they were all like that. I thought all the Shriners and the JCs and the Masons, all they do is sit around and look at fucking like dark 1960s porn and fucking beat each other off.
Well, that's what they actually do, but the volunteer stuff is their front.
So they can tell
their wives like, no, we're gonna go and we're gonna figure out this fun run, and then really they're just watching stag films in John's garage.
It just seems like stag films always involve a girl dying.
Yeah, I think for the most part that's what makes them fun there for all these individuals. So he's living the perfect life. He's got a couple of KFC restaurants. He's in the JC group.
He's making friends with everybody. Yeah, everybody knows him. He's a big shot. He becomes what's the term? It's like key member.
Yeah, key member.
Yeah,
and it's also at this time he joins the JCs and he finds himself a bit of a suck and fuck partner.
Now, what do you mean a suck and fuck partner?
This is when he has his second homosexual experience.
And when is the first? The
molestation.
That's his first. So you're going to put that on him.
I'm not putting it on him.
Gacy had a homosexual experience when he was molested. He was molested.
I mean, we're talking about when he fucked the corpse.
Oh, well.
When he was touching the corpse. That was technically his. I would even call that a homosexual experience.
I guess we could call it that. Yeah.
It's got a dick on it. He definitely didn't play with anybody's boobies.
Well, so that's true. We don't know if it was a heavyset corpse or not.
I just feel like that's like a Fox News talking point as to whether or not that's homosexual activity or just straight up necrophilia.
If it's dead, if the person's dead. Yeah, that is a good question, though. Who knows?
So it's this guy that gives Gacy the speech that he made to so many victims. Like, every victim that he would give this speech, you go, like, so, you ever try to go out and you just can't find any girls? And
Mr. Gacy. I don't always have luck with the girls.
Well, a lot of guys have that problem, But
I just wish there was a way to, I don't know. Becky will never be with me.
No, well, I knew this guy back in Springfield, Illinois, and he taught me this little trick that I've stayed true to this day. You know, just getting your dick sucked by a man, it really feels no different from getting your dick sucked by a woman.
I don't know, Mr. Gacy. You're my boss.
I know I'm your boss, but, why not have a beer? Just have a beer,
Man, it's so hot in here.
He knows that all the...
That's what he would tell him.
He always said he had a boy back in the day who sucked his dick when he couldn't get a girl. And he's like, and that way, you get lucky 100% of the time.
Yeah, that's what it was. Get lucky 100%. You can always go cruising for somebody and find him over there. Just find him on the road or something. There's always a fag. There's always a fruit picker willing to give you what you want.
Yeah, please. Be polite. All the KFC employees are trashed off their ass.
Well, that's what they said. He would have parties at his house where only the male employees that would come over and hang out in his rumpus room and hang out.
Boys only. Which
is really gross. It's like when I saw the pictures of the crime scenes after the fact.
Yeah.
Looked identical. My uncle had the identical rumpus room. That burnt orange and green from like the 1970s.
Yeah. That's the official name of these rooms, is a rumpus room.
Pretty common rumpus room.
It's a room where you go to fuck young boys and then murder them.
It doesn't seem like you could do anything else in a rumpus room.
Rumpus rooms is just where dad goes to get fucking cryptically drunk and listen to his old songs and bitch about his wife.
Rumpus room. Yeah. I gotta get one of those.
Well, the JCs wasn't even close to the only organization that he was a part of. He was in the Chi Rho Club, where he was membership chairman, the Catholic Inner Club Council, where he was a member of the board.
Good Catholic. He became, and later on, when he was in jail full time, he was the head server for the Catholic church inside of his prison.
Essentially the altar boy.
Yeah, he was very religious.
Yeah, he was in the Federal Civil Defense for Illinois, the Chicago Civil Defense, where he was a commanding captain, the Holy Name Society, where he was named an officer, and of course the JCs, eventually becoming first vice president and man of the year.
I hate the terms that they call themselves. It makes them sound so important, but it's just a bunch of stinky old men in dumb VFW halls just raping each other.
Oh, and he is.
You won't be saying that when you win the JCs Man of the Year award. I'll tell you that, Mr. Zabrowski.
But that's what he would start. He would throw parties for his KFC boys. They'd come over, and then basically what happened is that they moved to Iowa.
Yeah, this was all in Waterloo, Iowa.
Yeah, so he moved to Iowa from where he was from originally.
He was from outside of Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
I believe it was a suburb of Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
We have a lot of listeners out there.
Absolutely.
Le Plains.
And so it's Chicago. But then he started, basically, he showed up at the JCs in Iowa, and they were like, they only had like 85 members, and he managed to jump the whole thing to 236.
Absolutely.
And the way he did that was by his stag parties. Like his legendary porno parties that he'd throw with all the boys coming over.
Absolutely. Well, there's no greater thing that binds or builds a group than a series of secrets that you cannot tell anybody else.
So what happened? Yeah, exactly. So what happens now? You know, now that he's like he's living the perfect life.
He's got a perfect life. He still has the wife, right?
Yeah, he's got a wife.
He's a member of all these groups, all these boards. He's rising up
the
political chain.
What could possibly go wrong?
Man of the year.
Sodomy.
Sodomy.
Sodomy charge for assaulting a 15-year-old boy named Donald Voorhees.
Oh, like Jason Voorhees.
Interesting.
Yeah. He was the son of a fellow JC. That's the weird thing about all of his first homosexual experiences. It's in all the whole like JC community.
Yeah, because they're the only people he knew.
Yeah.
Because it is, that was what they're saying here is that you can manipulate it all. I'm sure it all happened because then later on the way he tried to get out of it was saying that his father was just coming at him politically and falsely accusing him. I'm sure that was in his brain the whole time.
And there were a ton of JCs that came to his side. They were like, yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely. But then he did it with a bunch of kids. Did you read all the other things he did? That was the one he got caught for.
Yeah.
Way before that, he was molesting boys. Because what you do is he'd make a sexual advance, and then if they said no, he'd be like, oh, I'm just fucking with you.
He was a clown.
He was joking around.
Sure. This was before he became a clown, though.
That was before
he became
a clown.
Well, I know, but these are he's laying the ground.
The warning signs of clownness.
Yeah, it's like being a funny kid in school.
It's
yeah.
like that. You know? Or it's like every guy has at some point been like, hey, so I'm just going to stick my girl, or I'm going to stick my finger in your butthole, you know, and then she's like, absolutely not. You're like,
I would never do that. That's gross. I'd never do it.
No, it's disgusting. But if she said yes,
he got oral sex from a bunch of young boys by giving them $50 and telling them they were doing a scientific experiment.
And to some degree, they were.
Asking to see whether or not being gay was real or not.
Right.
You know, and guess what? It is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yay, passed.
Well, he lured Donald Voorhees into his house with a promise. He told him, you know, if you come over, we can watch some porno movies. Which, say what you will about the widespread use of pornography these days, at least perverts can't use that excuse anymore.
Oh, yeah, they're not holding it. At least now, for 15, you want to see porn, you could just go on the internet by yourself and look at it.
Well, you have your iPhone.
Because I never did that as a kid. I never went and watched porn with friends. No. I always just, like, I watched it by
myself.
It was
weird.
It's weird.
It's really weird. At the time, it seems kind of normal, but weird.
Yeah, I did watch one porno tape, Secrets and Lies, with my friend Jared when I was growing up. That was a pretty intense one. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm so happy that now it's not called, like, you know, a misdemeanor in histamine. Like, now I'm glad that it's like, you know, it's like ass pounding seven, because at least it's what it is.
I mean, a misdemeanor in histamine is pretty good, though.
I had one called the Shaving of Trinity Lauren.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, you would have loved working at Nunbush Shoes, then. The Shaving. That sounds great.
So finally, Donald goes to his father and tells him, like, listen, Mr. Gacy, he sexually assaulted me.
He puckered me and he suckered me.
Puckered and suckered, you say, huh?
And this tells you, John Wayne Gacy's, this tells you the arrogance that he had and the confidence that he had in his own ability to lie.
Oh, yeah, because he's on top of his game.
When he was arrested, he told the cops, he's like, give me a polygraph test. Give it to me right now. I'll pass it right now.
He failed.
Failed.
Didn't do well.
Miserably. I mean, man, he just couldn't fucking
do
it.
All right, so he's failed his first polygraph test. We have a boy who claims that he sucked off Gacy, you know, who didn't want to suck him off. He was forced to. How does he wiggle his way out of this one? I mean, he's a fat fella.
He
tries to wiggle his way out of it by hiring another kid to beat the shit out of Donald Voorhees, trying to intimidate him into not testifying against John Wayne Gacy.
And John Wayne Gacy, as we've learned before, he thinks if he can invoke his name, his connections, quote unquote, are so fucking terrifying that no one will dare defy him. But literally, as soon as that kid got beat up, he went to the police. He said, this kid beat me up. That kid got picked up by the police. He's like, John Wayne Gacy paid me $300 to do it. Fucking just shot him down the river. You also find out in every single instance that someone is asked about John Wayne Gacy from here on out, like once the investigation happens, they're all like, oh yeah, he's still a creep.
That's
like everybody just sells him down the river. He didn't have a that also shows a lot about who he is and than what he did. He never had a sincere, real friend.
Oh, well, there's no way. I mean, how possibly could he? But this just...
Once you get a little bit further into the book, you'll see, like, once people start testifying, he did have a couple of people who they did consider him a friend.
Well, of course.
But he never considered them a friend. There's no way.
But you would never be able to fully believe that your close friend raped and murdered 33 young boys.
Unless you weren't that against
him. When the evidence comes out about Ben Kissel, about what he has supposedly done.
We're going to defend you to the end of the earth.
I've done nothing wrong.
I'm just saying, when the evidence comes to light.
Evidence of what?
I'm just saying. If
my apartment's not big enough to hold anybody's. But it is interesting, and I can't stop thinking about how badly I wish we had iPhone cameras back then, because I just can see him ranting about this kid who ratted him out, very similar to Toronto Mayor Rob Ford, ranting about how he's going to take the guy out in 5 minutes. Like a John Wayne Gacy rant about how he's going to get this kid, how he's going to hire another kid to kick the shit out of this other kid would be brilliant. It'd be so funny.
It's at this time that John Wayne Gacy has his first experience with mental health professionals, because after they realize, like, oh, fuck, this guy sodomized a kid and then paid another kid to beat up that kid.
This guy's got some problems.
He's got some problems.
And then he asked for a polygraph test that he failed.
Exactly.
Right. And he's telling everybody, basically, you know, like, because, you know, because that's what he's like. He's like, I'll get the chief of police in here because I got him on my phone dial. I can call him anytime I like.
Right. All the time, yeah. And so he gets diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder. However, he is deemed mentally fit to stand trial, but the doctors at the time say, they're like, this guy is going to have problems with society for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He's a monster. He is never going to fit in. He is always, he's going to be in and out of jail for the rest of his life. But what are you going to do?
Did he have the mustache?
He did not have the mustache.
He did not have the mustache.
The mustache was after his first stint in prison, which came from the conviction from sodomy, in which he was sentenced to 10 years in jail.
But 10 years.
Again, it's the same time. You can't get a good man down. He walked into prison, and he was a fucking shining star.
Yeah, that's a shining star. And by the way, his wife, the day he was convicted, divorced him, and he never saw his wife. And he also had two children with this woman.
Oh, so she didn't love it.
So she did not love it.
She didn't love it, into it.
Yeah, but I think it's funny that she waited until the state decided if he was guilty or not before divorcing him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Before a jury says that he's guilty.
Did we learn nothing from the prologue? Jury is word. Word is God.
So, yeah, he gets into prison, and he's a model prisoner. He becomes head cook at the prison kitchen.
Brilliant.
He oversaw the building of a miniature golf course
in prison.
Yeah, you know, he understands the value of entertainment.
He does, yeah.
And his and while he's in prison, this is also when his father.
So these kids were all these guys in prison were they were just playing putt putt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole time?
In the yard, yeah.
It's different times, huh?
I mean, this is white people prison.
This is a white person prison.
Yeah, this is in the middle of fucking Iowa prison.
This is a sodomy prison only.
Yeah.
Only for sodomites. Okay.
That's the thing. For somebody who did such a disgusting crime, it's really strange that he... I mean, sodomy's not a disgusting crime, but the fact that he raped a boy.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of ironic.
A 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And then he goes to prison and constructs the gayest of all things, a putt-putt park.
At least it wasn't like a cotton candy factory.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's
that's what Dahmer did.
Yeah, that's
Dahmer
what he wanted
did
to
the
do.
The gayest of all things.
So Christmas 1969, John Wayne Gacy's father dies of cirrhosis of the liver.
And he doesn't, like, that was Sounds the thing, fun. He'd sought his whole life to try to make his father proud, and that probably killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the whiskey and all of the liquor.
Yeah.
He died of cirrhosis of the liver.
After John Wayne Gacy was doing so well and had the family and the wife and the kids, his father did tell him for the first time, he was like, I'm very proud of you.
Yes,
like,
nice.
I was wrong
Trash
about you.
That.
Yeah, so yeah, he totally trashed that one. And of course, Gacy, when he told his father that he died, he broke down. Some say that might have been, like, that was the first kind of kink in towards him actually killing someone.
Well,
like, that was the first, like, kind of bent. Because after he gets out of prison...
Because now he's released of the need to worry about his father's approval anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, at this point, he's just sodomized and cuddled the corpse.
He can finally go to Cancun for Christmas.
Yeah. And the first
That's your fantasy, Henry. That is yours. John Wayne Gacy had a heart.
And the first kid, he talked him into it. You know, he paid him for it. It wasn't a forcible type thing.
I mean, you know
what I'm talking. Comparatively,
yeah. It wasn't.
He was a poor kid.
Yeah, comparatively, it wasn't forcible. So he does 18 months in prison. He gets paroled. And almost... immediately after getting out of prison, he picks up a kid at a Greyhound bus terminal and attempts to force him to have sex with
him. I just don't understand.
It's immediate.
You said 14 months?
18 months.
He served 18 months out of a 10-year sentence.
Yep. Yeah, he was.
That's how good of a cook he was.
That's a great.
That's how amazing the putt park was.
That's what he did.
He's like, well, the putt park like that, we've never seen such a good goddamn windmill. You're out of here.
You have to be as funny in this life,
right?
That's all you have to be.
This is the best kitchen slop we've ever had here at San Quentin. You're out of here. Yeah. These prisoners are having it too good with you around.
And it's also, I mean, and
the prisoners all were super sad when he left. Yeah, what are we gonna eat for dinner?
Bye, John.
Okay.
And if you're asking why he was never convicted for this, it's because the kid failed to show up to court. So yep. It's very possible that this may have been John Wayne Gacy's first murder.
Really? Yes.
It's possible. Because the kid was never seen again.
So at a Greyhound bus terminal, which is where prisoners tend to get dropped off at.
Yeah.
Always get dropped off at.
It's where all the drifters go to. And right. It's like, how many young boys are just hand over fist murdered at a Greyhound bus station?
So, a lot.
I'd
so
say
many.
10 to 15% of them.
As a young boy who was at a Greyhound bus station at like 16, 17, I did have a convict try to get me to help him steal a car, and it was one of the scariest places I've ever been.
Yeah, that's really
the Greyhound
intense.
Bus terminal in Dallas, Texas is not friendly.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Well. Shocking news. Shocking news. The Greyhound bus terminal in
Texas. I just
can't
imagine. It's like, why would they choose you as a crime partner? Not saying that you're not looking devious and capable.
I mean, I would definitely choose Marcus as a crime partner.
Yeah.
He's got that criminal smile. I mean, now that we know each other.
Yeah. Like a 17-year-old?
Oh, a 17-year-old me. Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
I'm actually... just flipping a butterfly knife back and forth, swinging a chain.
Ouch, ouch, ouch. I gotta get better at this.
My mama done raised me to be a rebel.
So the Iowa Board of Parole did not hear about this incident at all. Of course, you know, it's the time before all of these places were interconnected.
Right.
So, you know, his parole was not revoked. He was on 12 months probation at this time.
Man, we were free back then.
God,
we were
so free.
So if he did kill the kid, there was no, like, second investigation being like, where's the victim of the sexual assault?
Nobody cares about drifters.
Yeah.
Right.
Gay runaways.
Learned anything from researching serial killers.
That is
nobody
true.
Gives a shit about a drifter.
Yeah.
You need an address to be investigated in this life.
That's a good, that is very, very true. And it can't be street corners.
No.
So after Gacy gets out of prison, that's when he puts together a little money with the help of his mother, and he buys 8213 West Summerdale Avenue, where he would reside until his arrest in 1978, and where he performed every single one of his known murders.
Yes, that's what he liked to call it. That was his chocolate factory.
Sure. Yes.
And this is when he got engaged to Carol Hoff, who had two daughters.
He must have been such a charmer.
Yeah, he had to have been. And this
he must have been able to turn it on. I mean, truly, though. He's an ugly man. He's been in prison.
Well,
it is not
also,
that easy to get engaged.
Again, also, no, it is. Back in the day, again, if you're a single mother, you're a single mother.
Right.
Because I remember, it's like, my dad was a big blowhard, a big nutty dude. And it was like, you know, like, if you talk with a guy like him.
He did a good job.
But back in the day, women found being loud to be attractive and powerful.
Yeah, this is
like
a major problem
for
currently.
You just have to, like, be loud. In 1965,
right.
You just had to be loud and have, like, a billfold. And you would get a fiance of a single mother just hanging out in a fucking Iowa bar.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. And John Wayne Gacy definitely had a billfold. No doubt.
Oh,
about
absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Oh, this is back in Illinois. He's back
okay.
on home
okay.
turf.
It's the same thing.
Illinois.
It's the same thing.
8213. What's the address?
8213 West Summerdale Avenue.
If anyone lives in Chicago or that area, please
go get
down.
That
they
house
tore it down.
Fuck down.
Now, what was it? The 26 corpses in the floorboards? Is that what did it?
That was the thing. It was hard for them to flip it. They had the flip it guys from TLC.
Of course, and they couldn't even flip it.
They were like Now what you can do here is that we can make this an island. Oh, wait a second. Our for some reason, I can't. My sound man's saying he's picking up howls and screams from the floorboards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to have to blow this whole place up.
Blow it up. You got to get the property brothers
priest
over there.
Priest just walks in there, starts crying, falling to his knees, and be like, they have no place to go.
It's
they have no
flies.
Place to go.
Yeah. Burn them.
So a week before Gacy's wedding, he is charged once again with battery and sexual assault.
This is the thing. It keeps happening.
And it keeps happening. It keeps escalating. This time, he flashed a police officer's badge, a fake police officer's badge to the kid, got him into the car, forced him to blow him, and then the kid...
Because he outfitted his whole car to look like a police guy.
What kind of police officer are you?
Yeah. He's experimenting.
Yeah, it's Officer Dickhard. Now get to my fucking job.
Party, please. Party, please.
He's experimenting at this point. He's leading up to his first kills. This is when he's trying to figure out what his MO should be, what he's trying, what he thinks is going to work best. It's going to end in murder and getting his nut off.
And I'll tell you, the police, the flashing of a fake police badge is foolproof. It works very well. Marcus, you and I read an article recently in Greenpoint. I don't know if you heard this story. It happened last weekend. Two guys were leaving a bar. A van pulls up next to them, flashes a police badge. They get into the van. The girlfriend of one of the dudes is like, well, that's not right. Tracks the iPhone. They find one guy about to start getting tortured in some sort of bizarre chamber. The guy had a blowtorch.
Handgun.
Some handcuffs. The other guy was just cruising around with the dude. So... demand more than a badge.
Yeah.
Demand more than a badge.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This kid...
If they are hard, if you see an erection... They're not cops.
Or they may be a cop. I mean, you just like, this definitely, they need a hat. They at least need a hat.
Right.
You know, they'll never have a barred van either.
Ask them if they like Steven Seagal. If they say no, not a cop.
Not a cop.
Not a real cop.
That's their favorite Die Hard movie.
Yes. If they say three, not a cop.
Gacy got out of this charge because the kid apparently tried to blackmail him into dropping the charges. And for some reason in Illinois, that is reason enough to drop the charges against the first guy.
Man, white people sure know how to take care of white people.
They really do.
And in 1972, John Wayne Gacy, as we said before, he started his construction company, PDM Contractors, which stood for Painting, Decorating, and Maintenance. It's also in the 1 year later, he has another sexual assault.
Another one.
With young boy, because this is when he starts figuring out that he has this contractor business, and contractor businesses
love young boys.
Yeah, right. They employ young boys, so he can employ young boys without it looking weird.
And then he has the perfect thing, obviously what gets him off now is being like, well, I'm your boss, and you know, you could either, it's just like, here, like, the thing. He's like, you know, it's the thing. He's like, I'm very, like, they'll go, I'll puff a joint a little bit, and you're like, you know, I'm pretty... liberal sexually.
There's a lot of people here hang out here.
It's like, we all kind of like to party, you know, and like, you could either party with us, and that's one thing.
You could party with us
and find what kind of opportunities you get if you party with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I'm going to get a promotion?
No, he's like a fucking Republican senator.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, he's a Democrat.
Isn't that fun?
Yes, he is.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a regular Obama over there with his grassroots feckin' campaign to get young boys involved.
I mean, that's the thing. He's really courting the youth. You can definitely argue that.
He's rocking the vote.
Yeah, it's like cock and change. Yeah.
This kid, Gacy, raped in a hotel room in Florida.
Oh, okay.
And when they got back, the kid, I think, told one of his buddies, and the buddies were like, all right, let's go fucking get this guy. Drives to John's house. He doesn't press charges against him, just beats the fuck out of him on his front lawn. Of course, the wife asks, like, what's going on here? And Gacy's like, I refuse to pay him for some shoddy work that he
Which
did.
Which is another John Wayne Gacy card that he plays always. He's a victim. He plays a victim constantly. It's always like he's a part of circumstances that are terrible, and he's an innocent man who just wants to do the right thing.
Yeah,
of course. And all these guys are martyrs, especially when it comes to sexual predators. Look at Jerry Sandusky.
I mean, Dahmer didn't roll over, but he understood what
Dahmer
he did.
Dahmer wasn't a child molester. Dahmer killed.
I mean, he
still
was fucking. They were like 17.
No, they had to be of age. They were in a bar.
They were prostitutes. They were Taiwanese prostitutes.
One was a Filipino, not necessarily a prostitute.
14 though.
Filipino. All right? So different in the cultures.
They're
you know?
So much more mature.
Exactly. Yes. They're wise.
And of course, John Wayne Gacy, he was known as a real fun guy around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
He threw theme parties all the time. He had one that was a luau, one was a Western theme party. I saw some pictures of him dressed up in Revolutionary War garb.
Ah, very interesting.
It was a really good costume.
No, he threw some fucking epic parties.
Yes,
this
he did.
This is what you have to do to cover up your second career of murdering young boys.
Sort of a Roman Polanski type move.
And you ask why, you know, people ask like, man, how did he have that many people under his floorboards and no one noticed the smell? Everyone noticed the smell.
Everyone said John's house smells bad.
Yeah.
Everybody did. They're like, well, the house smelled bad, but he was big fat. So we just assumed it was a big fat house and it smelled bad. My uncle's house smelled bad. That was just because all the kids were retarded.
Yeah. And your uncle also, this is the uncle with the rompus room?
Yeah.
We should probably go to his house and search around some floorboards.
I never want to know his secrets.
Okay.
I don't even care. I don't even care if he's guilty. I don't want to know.
I mean, this is exactly why John Wayne Gacy got away with it for so long.
Absolutely.
Because no one wants to know his secrets.
Because I was saying, so he's got shark eyes. He's funny and he's saying funny things, but you look at him, there's nothing going on behind the eyes. It was like my uncle worked for fucking Pan Am for years, hauling luggage. God knows what he did and what they all did.
Mm. They always hire the smartest people for that
job. The 80s were a bad time. The 70s into the 80s, it was every father and uncle was doing something crooked on the side.
Oh, absolutely.
And in 1975, he creates the character that we all know him by, Pogo the Clown.
You heard his explanation for Pogo?
What?
He said, he's like, I got the name Pogo because I'm Polish and I'm always on the go. Pogo.
Pogo.
He said.
That's a very brilliant way to come up with a name.
That's pretty good.
You put your nationality in there, and what do you like to do?
I go around, you know. I was going to be Pomo for Polish and being a fucking boy murderer. I decided that Pogo was more of a clown name.
Yeah, Pomo doesn't really flow, and then Pomo. The description.
Pomo sounds like a soft white like cartoon character that's like Pomo.
Yeah,
I love you.
Pomo sounds a lot like other characters I've heard before.
It's like this. Oh, so sweet.
That's amazing, Pomo.
Pomo, you don't have a penis.
Pomo, the penisless puffball?
I was born without one, so I don't need paint.
Well, you were just born without the penis.
How does your species sexually reproduce?
We split into four of us.
You split into four of you. What happened to your brothers and sisters?
They all died.
Oh, my goodness.
It's hard when we
the split-ins. So it's usually
when the strong ones aren't strong enough, they die.
Oh, I see.
You gotta be real strong to live, and sometimes you gotta kill to live.
So you killed them.
It's only so much food to go around.
Right. Well, I'm fairly certain there was enough food to go around. You're surrounded in beef. Surrounded by beef.
Well, John Wayne Gacy, going back to Pogo the Clown, he designed all of his own costumes.
Of course he did.
He created his own style of makeup, which this is interesting.
Oh, yeah, this is really interesting.
Yeah, most of the time, clowns, if you'll notice, their makeup is very round.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sharp edges.
Right.
But if you look at the Pogo the Clown makeup, there
are
a lot of really sharp edges. Two sharp edges on the side and two points right above underneath each eye. And that's very strange.
That's what makes him terrifying.
I mean, and is.
No, he was always weird. That's what everyone always said. There was nothing ever totally right with John Wayne Gacy.
No way. Absolutely. So this is 1975, and up to this point, America had a relatively good relationship with the clown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was
still great.
Gacy there was also ushered a bunch of stuff that he said that he did that there's no evidence of him doing. That was like, they said that he performed at like children's hospitals, but then when they went to go investigate it, it's like, he never did.
No way he did. Yeah. No, definitely not.
Yep.
So he ushered in the anti-clown movement.
He was the first, absolutely. Yeah, because he was known as the killer clown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pennywise the Clown versus Pogo the Clown. Who wins?
Pogo,
because he's real.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Because he did it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So in 75, Gacy finally told his wife, listen, we're not fucking anymore. I'm bisexual. They divorced by March of 76. They lasted like almost another year.
And did he molest her daughters at all?
No.
Okay.
No, he never touched a girl.
They were girls.
Yeah. Right. Never touched
girls
a girl.
Girls are gross.
Yeah, that's what he
thought. Yeah, nothing's quite like a pert young boy.
Yeah.
So there's really no safer person than a young girl around John Wayne Gacy.
Absolutely. I mean, he wouldn't even look at him.
Yeah.
Not only would he not look at him, he would adore them. He was great with girls.
Okay.
He was.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, what can you do?
You know.
What can you do? You know, you're just either born lucky or not.
Yeah, and he was definitely not born lucky. He was born that way.
He could have been fine.
Right.
Yeah, he could have been.
So now he's Pogo the Clown. It's 1975. He's got quite a rap sheet going on.
And this is when the fifth assault happens.
Yes.
Because there's been a lot of gay rumors been going around this whole time. Because
but again,
he
it's
had
not
been...
about being gay. He's not gay. He's not a fruit picker. He just knows that he wants to get 100% laid whenever he goes out.
That's all. So he took this kid, Tony Antonucci, 16-year-old
Antonucci.
Kid. Antonucci. They were cleaning up the Democratic Party headquarters. And this is when he first starts using the rope trick, the handcuff trick. The, hey, let me show you, like, I've got this trick that I want to do. Like, check it out. And he almost does it.
Yeah.
He almost gets the kid, but the kid overpowers him and handcuffs Gacy.
Because he was a wrestling champion.
Yeah.
That was what's really funny.
he was a high school
wrestling champion,
yeah.
And he wrestled the thing out of him and put it. But then he said the words like, you're the only one who ever get me out of these things, and you got me into them. All the rest of them fall for it.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, what? All the rest of them?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. And this kid stayed working for Gacy for like a year after this.
Totally safe. He knows he can beat the shit out of him. Who cares?
Well, absolutely. But then you just blow it off as a big funny thing. Again, everyone had a funny uncle.
Right.
Everyone got you. If you were a young, tight boy, you had 9 dudes pass it at you a couple times.
All the time.
You had it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I had some passes.
Yeah?
This guy's looking at you weird.
Yeah, going like,
I mean, I never had anything like that. Very, very
I can't
sad.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Why, though? It was because
huge.
You're a giant redheaded, giant redheaded monster.
I think they want, like, they
who didn't understand your body yet, so you're just going like, oh!
Yeah.
Just going around pounding through your high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting in trouble for hugging and shit.
That's fine. I was just too funny to have sex with.
Yeah, that's what it was, Henry. You were too funny to have sex with.
I was adorable and ripe.
Of course you were. Yeah.
That's great.
Little apple bottom. Sauntering around, just asking for it.
A perfect victim, Marcus. A perfect victim of sexual assault.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very lucky I came out the other side unscathed.
And you're doing great. So, John Wayne Gacy, we got Pogo the Clown. He's trying to beat up a wrestler. That's not happening.
And
no, and then finally, the final story is that, his first murder.
Here we go.
His first murder.
It's been
what
a
was
long
it? It was
time.
Tommy McCoy, right?
I believe so.
Tom McCoy, he found this, again, a drifter boy.
Right.
He told him, he's like, hey, I'll take you around and I'll show you the sights. And so he drove him around Chicago.
Hey, I got a joint. Come on.
Yeah, they smoked a little bit, some reefer, and then went back into the house, and then they went to sleep together. They don't really say what they did, but I'm sure there was a little suckering and puckering going on.
Yeah, definitely.
And then he wakes up, and Tommy McCoy's got a knife in his hand, so he freaks out, attacks Tommy McCoy, grabs the knife from him, stabs him multiple times, and then goes to the kitchen and sees that there is a pan with bacon and eggs in it and 2 place settings. He was just making him fucking breakfast.
He stabbed
this kid to death and then it threw him underneath the house.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the first one. And what he discovered was that when he killed him, he came in his pants. And so when he realized, he was like, ah, that's the ticket.
There it is. Eureka. This whole time.
Boing. That's like his penis made a noise.
It very interesting.
Came so hard.
And then he also found that he enjoys 2 plates of eggs and ham.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was like, well, that's enough for me then.
Better have it then.
Oh, yeah. He had a full breakfast with a slice of grapefruit and a bowl of Twix next to it. It must have been great.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
A bowl of Twix, candy Twix.
I love eating breakfast alone.
Yeah.
So it's when it comes down to it.
Well, it's easy for you when
you
don't wake up next to anybody. You know?
Hello. So my house just echoing. That's what I like to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
So how long was it until he actually got to a murder? I mean, I feel like he's been dilly-dallying with these sexual assaults for a decade now.
I mean, he was one of those guys he committed all of his murders within, 2 years?
And you know,
he killed 33 in 2 years.
Yeah, he killed 30, and sometimes he killed more than one a day.
More than one a day?
Yeah. On a couple of occasions.
Next episode, we're going to cover all of them.
Yeah,
one
really
by
get
one.
It.
Yeah, we're
going
to really get into the fucking the grimy,
but what's interesting
dirty
is
details.
He didn't know that he was going to come if he killed a kid. He had to actually do it, and then he came. He never killed animals.
Of his games involved rough sexual play and handcuffs and tying them up.
Sure,
and that's what got him hard. It's always a slippery slope. It is always
I think there's a great majority of people who stop the slippery slope and handcuffs.
If you have the gene, you have that X factor gene that makes you a serial killer, you're done. Because there are people who just don't discover it. There's I talk about in business, they looked up like psychopathic traits and like businessmen, and they all have it. There's
everyone,
it's like some of an astounding thing. They have it. They just never
got that sexual kick that feeds into your evolutionary thing of survival. Like, it keys into, like, well, I want to make babies. My dick is only going to want to make babies if I'm killing people.
Well,
so now it's an evolutionary trick. Now you have to kill in order to come. Like, that's what happens. Now you're doomed. Now you have to do it.
Well, then what are you going to do? You put it in a turkey baser then? I mean,
no, you fucking get your dick and balls cut off and you stop having sex. You be done. You get castrated.
You're done.
That's what should happen to these people.
Right, right.
If it ever gets caught, it's just like, you know, just fucking castrate them. Get them done.
Cut them right off there, huh?
Cut them right off. Because that's what's making them do it.
Put a rubber band down there for a couple of days. It'll just fall off naturally.
Like a dog.
Yeah, treat them like a dog there.
Or more sheep, actually.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, you can remove balls a whole series of ways.
A whole bunch of any animal.
This isn't a medical show. You know, that's not what we're about here. So don't take our advice.
So do we want to do a little theater or do we want to save it for the next episode?
What do you think?
We're at an hour 3 right now.
We need to probably wait.
Let's wait. We'll start off the next episode. We're gonna begin at the end with a little bit of theater.
Yes, we got too enthusiastic about our information this time, but it's just so great.
Yeah,
I'm very excited for this
Gacy
theater.
Gacy is fantastic.
Yeah, so next time we will start with some John Wayne Gacy masterpiece theater. Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to be quite the theater critic, guys, so you better bring your A game. I'm casting.
I don't know, Mr. Gacy. Are you sure I'm supposed to be here right now?
Oh, yeah, all the guys. You like your mother, right? You love your mother. What's the best present to your mother besides showing up with a brand new job there? Hey, $5 an hour, you'll be able to get that Jeep you wanted.
Three stars. Really, the Chicago Tribune says, I was scared shitless. That's great. Well, awesome, guys. And remember, there is a Facebook page.
Yeah.
So that's been fun. And Henry and I are administrators now.
What I would like to also say to people, let's get away from just the offensive stuff. Let's get some creepy stuff. I haven't seen some genuinely creepy stuff in a while.
Yeah, we have some
let's
good
do some creepy shit.
Yeah,
I want ghosts.
Lay off the memes, guys.
Yeah, I want some goddamn ghosts.
Memes. Yeah, all ghosts all the time.
Aliens. I mean, I guess I can provide enough alien stuff for anybody else, so I don't want to subject anybody necessarily to looking into more of that.
And I'll be on it, man. If you see something that doesn't belong on that site, like sunglasses, let me know.
We'll hunt them down.
There's a new sheriff in town.
I also wanted to give a shout-out to Maria Driscoll, who Ben Kissel met.
Yes, I met Maria.
And she is wonderful.
I was asked
to give her a shout out. I just want to say hello, Maria, you're good.
Why did she ask you for a
shout out? No, absolutely not.
Very interesting. Very interesting. That's right. And who's ever having a birthday? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
And if you have a funeral coming up, happy funeral for you.
Is that a thing?
Maybe like 4 days or something. You got to plan it for about that long, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a whole to-do.
Yeah.
Unless you're Jewish, then you got to do it within 24 hours.
Ooh.
Nice.
That's a lot of work.
I hate rushing.
That's a lot of work. All right, everybody.
I like to go at my own pace, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hail Satan, everyone.
Hail Satan, Magustalations.
Again.
Hail me.
And hail yourselves, and we will talk to you soon.
Go fart yourself.
Go fart yourself.
Is that a good new one?
No. Yeah. We'll leave it out.
Don't go be a fruit picker if you want to be.
Yeah, fruit picker.
Yeah, be one. Just be one. If John Wayne Gacy was allowed to just be one, he wouldn't be in trouble right now.
There was a fun little comment section there with our Facebook page talking about cheese castles. And I said that's when you fart up your blankets and then, you know, make a little tent with them. The little Zabrowski cheese castle.
That hurts my feelings.
No, come on. All right, everybody. Talk to you soon.